I guess I do have a few things to say. But actually, just so you know, and so you don't leave early, I'm going to say a few things. We're going to sing another song. We're going to watch a short video to encourage us in this new year coming up tomorrow. And then we're going to have some presentations, some folks who were baptized today, and then some presentations of what we're doing with the Dollar Club that you've so generously supported all year long. So, houlasso paratheke. O church, houlasso paratheke. We're in a series that we've titled Real Life. It's our contention that everybody has the reality of a real life. And we all need the real life of Jesus Christ. We need that connection with God through Jesus. And we've been using the book of Timothy to help us to see what it means to experience the real life of Jesus Christ. We believe that that takes place through sound doctrine, steadfast sayings, and solid living. And Paul began this letter, the first letter to Timothy, by saying, Timothy, my true son in the faith. We talked about how Timothy was in a blended home. And what I mean by that is his father was a Greek and his mother was a Jew, but she was a Messianic Jew. She was a Jew who had come to the place where she realized Jesus is the Messiah, and she had received Jesus as her Savior. And his mother and his grandmother were faithful believers, and they led Timothy in that way. And Timothy's home was at least awkward, because his dad was a Greek, not a Christian, and all that went with Greek philosophy and living in this area of the world. And Timothy is a believer growing up in a home with a faithful grandmother and mother. And so in many ways, Paul has become Timothy's spiritual father. Timothy, my true son in the faith, is how the letter begins. Well, we're going to look at the last two verses of this first letter to Timothy from Paul. And we're going to find that that there's a duty to fulfill and a danger to avoid. Paul ends this letter with just a heartfelt, impassioned plea. So let's read those last two verses together. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by it some professing have swerved from the faith. Grace and peace to you. Paul begins this letter, and in the Greek language it starts like this. Well, it's, O Timothy. O Timothy. Phulasso paratheke. Guard that which has been entrusted to you. Phulasso paratheke. O church. Phulasso paratheke. Guard what has been entrusted to you. It's an impassioned plea from, again, someone who is, in essence, Timothy's spiritual father, his father in the faith. This Phulasso paratheke is rich in terms of what it really says. And like so much, when you go from the Greek language to the English language, it takes sentences to say what's said in just a word or two or a short phrase. What's essentially said here is that Timothy is to guard, that is, protect, watch out, keep his eye on the deposit. That's what has been entrusted, which is a trust or a consignment, a bank deposit, an escrow would be words we use today that are synonymous. and it's entrusted. It's to be held firmly and faithfully. It's a treasure that's in care and must be conscientiously distributed at the owner's request. This is a fiduciary responsibility. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Oh, Timothy, ulasso parathake. I want you to treat God's Word. I want you to treat everything I've said. I want you to treat what you know about Jesus Christ. I want you to treat the good news of the Gospel. I want you to treat it as if you were a bank. And you have a fiduciary responsibility to the people that have entrusted you with their savings. And you're to hold it and keep it and disperse it at the owner's request. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy, and that's what God is saying to us. If you're a Christ follower, if you're somebody who's turned from yourself and your sin and you've received Jesus, you have a fiduciary responsibility. You have a responsibility to hold in trust the truth of God's Word and the good news that even though our lives are totally messed up, a little bit or a lot, even though we all have these real lives, we have been entrusted with the good news that our real lives can become a real life through Jesus Christ. That even though we're imperfect and broken and sinful, and God is holy and perfect, and there's that separation between us because of Jesus. Because He came to earth, because God chose to take on the form of humanity. It's what Christmas is all about. It's God with us. Because that's true. And if you've done that, if you've acknowledged that, if you've realized that you're the most sinful person in the world, that if that's your heart, the Apostle Paul said that this is for the most heinous, the sinner, of whom I am the worst. Paul's probably not the worst sinner who ever lived, practically. That's the heart attitude each one of us need to have, that if I was the only person who ever lived, Jesus would still need to do what He did on the cross. And when you come to that place and receive Jesus, your real life becomes a real life connection with God. And we've been entrusted with this good news. It's been given to us, and we're to hold it faithfully and truthfully and not mess with it. And we're to dispense it at God's desire. We're to dispense it through the way we live. We're to dispense it through the words that we say. We're to dispense it how we work at our jobs we talked about last week. How we live life. And we're not perfect. Spiritually, we are if we've received Christ, and ultimately one day we will. But we have this responsibility and entrustment. God has so chosen us to receive this good news and to dispense it as He sees fit. We're the bank. God's made His deposit in the gospel. And He tells us when and where to share it, to dispense it at His will and His whim. Oh, Timothy, phulasso parathake. Guard that which has been entrusted to you. It's to protect it. It's to watch out for it. It's to keep an eye on it. Oh, church, ulasso parathake. This is no light matter. The gospel and doctrine are given by the apostles, and they must be defended and preserved by the church. Timothy had been equipped by God to do this. Now he must set his heart and his mind to the task. The work was entrusted to him just as valuables are deposited in a bank for safety. Timothy was handed the responsibility of guarding the gospel against false teachers and keeping the church unified in the face of divisive teachings. These last two verses in this first letter to Timothy tell us, first of all, Well, it's an impassioned plea, and it tells us that we have a duty to fulfill, to guard that which has been entrusted to us. And then secondly, it ends with a danger to avoid. The second part of verse 20. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. The danger to avoid, and I read a number of commentators, and I've put together a phrase that came from a handful of commentators. The danger that we're to avoid is psycho-intellectual, heretical pratter that is futile nonsense. You want to hear that again? The danger we're to avoid is psycho-intellectual and heretical pratter that is futile nonsense. So basically what I'm telling you is turn your TV off, put your phones down, stay off of Facebook. I want you to notice, first of all, how that second half of verse 20 begins. Avoid. Intrepco. It's not engage. It's avoid. You see, sometimes we're called to engage people in debate. Paul did that often. You read the book of Acts. Here, Paul says avoid, and the word literally means to swerve, to intentionally go around, to miss, to stay away from. What we need is that intimacy with God to know when we're to engage people in debate and when to just avoid it. I find myself in circumstances and situations all the time where when I'm in a good place with God, I just let people go on and I smile or I make a nice comment and I keep going. When I'm in a bad place, I engage this pseudo-intellectual, heretical pratter that is just foolish nonsense. See, we need God's wisdom to know when it is that irreverent babble. It's something that we're just to swerve around. And maybe I can help you with a little picture. Sometimes you're driving down the road and a deer runs in front of you and you swerve around it. Now, you're not supposed to. There's some law enforcement officials in the building. So you're supposed to hit that thing. You're supposed to stay on the road and hit it. If you go off the road, you can get a ticket. Ask David Prescott. When he was first here, he hit an elk every year. And he would generally go off the road trying to miss it. He'd still hit it, but he would. And you get a ticket for trying to miss the animal because you're supposed to stay in your lane on the road. The last thing you want to do is swerve into the other lane. But here's the really interesting thing. I've never figured this out. You go out and shoot one of those animals anytime you want. Like, the state owns that thing and you're in big trouble. That thing runs into you on a road. They got nothing to do with it. Right? We need wisdom and restraint to know when to engage somebody. You know, we need to love people and listen to them regardless. But there's some times where there's just irreverent babble going on. And if we engage it, it's not helpful. And it's probably doing more harm than good. You see, Paul's encouraging Timothy to avoid this psycho-intellectual, heretical pratter that is really just foolish and nonsense. It's falsely called knowledge. You know, sometimes you just can't help people. You just got to listen, and all you can do is pray and smile and be nice. So we need God's wisdom to know when we engage and when we elude. When we avoid, when we swerve, when we stay away from the conversation. And then it says that some who do this get sucked into that vortex of pseudo-intellectual heretical pattern. Some people get sucked into that, and it actually swerves them from the faith. Paul wants you to avoid that, swerve away from that stuff. And some who have not done that, who've gone headlong into it, have swerved from the faith. Some, it's because they get sucked into it and their mind is changed. Others, it's just because they get so sucked into it that they become useless for the faith in many ways. What Paul says to Timothy is to stay the course. See, this real life of Jesus Christ is a development of intimacy with God the Father through Jesus. We've been given His Spirit. And as we have that kind of intimacy, we know when to engage, when to elude, and we stay the course. This irreverent battle are arrogant views of the false teachers. Those who think academic pursuits and tangling with words are in themselves pathways to spirituality. They do not recognize the need for a comprehensive belief that changes the inner person and his behavior. Such people and their teachings appear wise, but they are actually empty. These false teachers are not just little irritants which disrupted the church. They were dangerous. Now, much of the context here is that Paul is speaking against the Gnostics, and the Gnostics were supposedly people who had this special knowledge. And they were, many of them some of them were Christians, but many of them were very spiritual, genuine people trying to seek God, and they came up with this idea about this secret knowledge that you had to have, and the Gnostics had it, and they were all puffed up in terms of what they thought they knew. And these are arrogant and false teachers, and this is not true knowledge. And this last quote I read reminds us that it wasn't just little irritants that were disrupting the church. They were actually dangerous. But by embracing some of these things, people can be led away from the faith. Somebody who's not yet a believer may never become a believer because they get waylaid by this false knowledge. What I want you to know, how I want us to end this year, is to realize that when we receive Christ, we're given a duty to fulfill and a danger to avoid. Lasso parathake. Guard that to which you've been entrusted. Avoid this meaningless stuff that's supposedly knowledge. Develop that intimacy with God so you know what to engage and debate and what to avoid and elude. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the team to come back and we're going to sing a song and watch a video and make some presentations. So would you pray with me? Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before You in the name of Your Son, our Savior Jesus. And we thank You for the good news that even though our sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. That Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And God, You put it all together and You just bring us together to help us to bump into Jesus originally and continue to walk with Him together. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that would be their heart. And if someone doesn't know You, has never received You, maybe today they could. That as deep and dark as the world is and as deep and dark as my own heart is, You have overcome and You can overcome personally for each person as we receive Jesus. God, thank You for Your great love and grace and mercy. And thank You for today again. I pray in Jesus' name.